From the start, President Trump was ambitious about using the summit with Kim Jong-un to push for the denuclearization of North Korea. But many who've escaped life under the regime hope that Trump would use the meeting to challenge North Korea over what the United Nations has described as systemic, widespread, and gross human rights violations. Yunmi Park is one of those people. She escaped from North Korea when she was just 13, and just before today's summit, she told me that she thought Trump might be the right person to take on North Korea.
Because previous administrations had this policy called strategic patience. Means shamefully not going to do anything about the human rights abuses or whatever the dictator's doing. But the thing is, the unpredictability he has. And the problem with North Korea is that when they go low, we went high. And it doesn't work with North Korea. When they go low, you have to go low too.
When they go low, you have to go low too. Yunmi said she was very supportive of President Trump. She was impressed that he could bring a dictator like Kim Jong-un to the negotiating table. But she's disappointed that today's summit had virtually no focus on human rights abuses.
What a hypocrite, these people saying they believe in justice, they believe in human rights, they believe in human dignity. And how are you standing for all those values and go completely against what we believe in here? These people should know what injustice looks like. And they're not going to bring that up. Then why are they even going to North Korea? I mean, why am I going to this summit and meeting this dictator and legitimizing him?
Yunmi told me why human rights must be at the center of any diplomatic conversation with Kim Jong-un.
The people in North Korea, we don't care if we have nukes or not. We are starving. We are not free. We are being persecuted. We have no freedom of speech. So what people want in North Korea is food and have freedom. And there's no concentration camp. So I am not hopeful. And this is a day of tragedy if really North Korea tricks Trump saying that he will remove nukes gradually, which will take years. And by then, Trump will be out of his term. Then North Korea can always go back to have more nukes. And then people will be continuously oppressed and being killed by this dictator. So it is saddening to me. There is even a possibility one day the dictator is normalized, a person and a leader, and is attending the international summits along with other leaders as just a normal person. He's a murderer.
Does there have to be a step forward at some point? And could this summit be the first step in some sort of diplomacy, considering that the lack of diplomacy has partially resulted in what you're talking about, the lack of food, the imposition of sanctions?
That's completely false. In 2000, when I was, I think, 7 or 8 years old, when I was in North Korea, there was a president from South Korea who initiated a peace talk and who gave millions of cash, tons of aid to North Korean regime, and we thought the reunification coming. And the person, the South Korean president, Kim Dae-jung, who initiated the peace talk, he won the Nobel Prize. So if that worked, if that diplomacy and the helping North Korea worked, why North Korea is here today? So with North Korea, we are not dealing with the normal regime. And what the talks can achieve, because all the politicians, what they have done is talking. That's why we are here today. That's why North Korean people are being starving and getting killed in the concentration camps. So I don't believe just talking to North Korea out of sake of like diplomacy will not solve this tragedy.
What do you expect, or how do you expect to meet the goal that you're saying, which is to feed the North Korean people without diplomacy, with lessening sanctions? How do you see that happening?
So maximum pressure. That's what got Kim Jong-un out of these two conversations. The Trump's president, maximum pressure definitely worked. So we cannot let North Korean regime to trade with any other regimes or the countries to get the cash for them. So imagine if we talk to China and China cuts all the gas and the oil, every supply that they provide to this dictator alive. That if then nothing comes into country, how Kim Jong-un is going to rule a country? He can't. So as much as we can in the policy-wise, we should continue the maximum pressure. And the other way, we have to empower people. And also there's a way to get information inside North Korea through smugglers. And we have to let North Korean people know that they are slaves. And the leader they believe as a god, that's a dictator. And we have to make North Korean people to demand their freedom. Because if you don't know your slaves, how do you demand to be free? And that's a problem in North Korea. It's not because people in North Korea are not able to think. They are brainwashed. They don't have information. There's only one channel on TV. People are not free to speak. So solution is not talking to Kim Jong-un and talk about nukes, because that will continually kill us.
Right. But the solution, I mean, the solution that you're proposing, educating North Koreans about their current status, potentially, what, overthrowing the North Korean regime?
Dismantle the regime, yeah.
But dismantling that has to have some element in diplomacy, does it not?
He needs to ask the North Korea to open up the concentration camps. It might be worse than Nazi Germany during the Holocaust. That's happening to North Korea, and that's a guy Trump is considering having a normalized diplomatic relationship. So if North Korea really comes to the table today and saying they are going to open up the concentration camps, they are going to let the international community comes, the Red Cross, UN, World Food, all of them come and feed people and do all the investigation, then I will believe that diplomacy worked.
Do you still have family in North Korea?
Yes.
Can you tell us anything about them?
So since I spoke out, I spoke about the starvation, execution, human rights abuses, and then North Korea came after me and they used all my relatives back in North Korea to put them on the YouTube video. You can search right now. And then my relatives denounced me as an enemy of the people. And they tell me I'm the propaganda puppet of the West. And they disappeared after that.
Your relatives disappeared?
Yeah.
Meaning?
I don't know if they got killed or they sent to concentration camps. I don't know how to find them again. So I am almost waiting for North Korean regime to put another propaganda video using them. And unfortunately, that's the only way for me to check if they're alive or not. So I'm saying, I'm not free. Even the dictator, till this day, after my escape, after I became a free person, he controls me. And he assassinated the factory. I mean, he killed his own half-brother. And this is the guy we are talking about. What do you mean if there's a one day, possibly, we are going to have a normal diplomatic relationship with this Hitler? I mean, I don't know what kind of world that I have to raise my son and saying that's normal. And this is something that I did not expect, that when I risked my life to be free.
Yunmi Park is a human rights activist and the author of In Order to Live, A North Korean Girl's Journey to Freedom. Yunmi, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.